Murder, one of the most grueling crimes you could ever imagine. We hear about it on the news, social media, and elsewhere all the time. Just hearing about them is enough to give you the creeps. But what if that murderer is staring right at you, face to face, mere minutes after committing a homicide? I'm your host, MC, and this is episode one of the MCR podcast. This happened to me and my wife a few months after we moved into a new place. This took place back in November of 2018 and actually wasn't even fully resolved until just recently. So back at this point in time, me and my wife were going through some hard times. I was making money through some slightly illegal means and had actually gone to jail for 9 months. I got out in September of 2018 and had a job in the city waiting for me when I got home. Now, when I got out of jail, my wife was living with her mom about an hour away from the city, but she knew we had to find somewhere to live close to both of our jobs that were downtown in the city we were moving to. Since we were starting all over after the legal fees, lawyers, fines, and other assorted debts, we knew we could only afford something super cheap that would let us pay week to week instead of having to pay security deposits and monthly rent up front. We found a boarding house in our city and checked it out. There were 4 rooms in the house with a shared kitchen and bathroom for everyone. We moved into one of the rooms. Our neighbors on the first floor were a 30-year-old Asian lady and her mom. Upstairs, there was a young black guy who moved in the same week as us, and also a young couple that lived in the room next to the young black guy. In the 3 months we lived there, the only people we talked to were the young couple upstairs. They seemed similar to us in age and interests, and we usually just talked to them in a passing or outside when we were all out there having a cigarette. They were nice enough. They also smoked weed, which me and my wife did as well, and we smoked outside together a couple of times. Things were just A-OK until the month of November came, and crap just started to hit the fan left and right with a couple who we'll name Jim and Sierra. It started off small. Things like hearing them get into short shouting matches, or one or both of them asking me and my wife to borrow money, or constantly trying to get cigarettes. One day, I came home, and Sierra was walking into the house at the same time as me with 3 guys I've never seen before, with a case of beer. They partied all night and kept me and my wife up, but we ended up going to bed around 5 a.m. A few days later, we are woken up on a Sunday, me and my wife's only day off, to Jim screaming at Sierra and throwing all her stuff into the front yard. He was calling her all kinds of names and told her to get out of his life, yada, yada, yada. They argued for like 3 hours, and eventually, someone picked Sierra up. We had a week of peace and quiet, but by the next week, she was moved back in, and the fights and screaming were constant. Until one night, it was a Tuesday night, the night before my birthday. Me and my wife worked that day and just kind of lounged around after work. My wife and I ended up smoking some weed around 1 a.m. and put in a movie to giggle at all night. The whole time we were watching this movie, we could hear Jim and Sierra screaming at each other. We could hear the stomp of their feet as they moved around upstairs in the room right above our ceiling, and went on the whole movie, it seemed like. After actually making it through the movie without falling asleep from smoking too much, we both noticed that Jim and Sierra had finally stopped fighting. We both wanted to take advantage of the quiet and lay down to sleep until we had to go to work in the morning. I was woken up in the middle of the night by my wife, who was looking off toward my side of the bed. I was so tired and out of it. I thought maybe she saw a big bug and wanted me to kill it. I turned over to get up, and when I did, there was a man standing next to my bed, hunched over my nightstand, going through my drawer. The man had an empty milk gallon in his hand. After rolling over and us locking eyes, he stood up from his hunched position and just stared at me. I kicked my feet out onto the floor and sat up on the bed as he started backing up slowly, one step at a time. At this point, I finally realized that it's Jim in our room going through my stuff and holding an empty milk gallon. Now, like I said, I was still pretty out of it and just calmly said to him, "What's up, Jim? Why the heck are you in our room, bud? After a few seconds, Jim asks, can I borrow your guy's car, man? Or can one of you guys take me down to the gas station and back real quick? Thank goodness for my wife, who was finally fully awake, unlike me, who said, what? You broke into our room to borrow our freaking car? No, you can't borrow our car after you broke into our room at 4 in the freaking morning. Now get out of here, you weirdo. Jim leaves, but he doesn't just leave. He sprints out of the front door and starts running down the street towards the gas station he wanted to go to. I look at my wife, and before we can even say anything to each other, our other neighbor from upstairs comes down and says that Jim and Sierra were fighting worse than he ever heard or saw, and that he hadn't heard any noise coming from the room for about an hour. My wife, who was feeling protective of a fellow female who had to endure this abuse, told me and our neighbor to go upstairs and check on her. We go up the stairs, and the door to Jim and Sierra's room is shut, but not locked. I knocked and shouted for someone, but there was no answer. Standing side by side, me and my neighbor turned the doorknob and pushed the door open. On the back wall of the room, Sierra was laying on the couch, face up, and we also noticed that the floor and ceiling had been hacked up like someone was trying to get inside the floor and ceiling for some reason. Me and my neighbor walked over to the couch, thinking that Jim had knocked her unconscious, but when we made it to her, we realized there was blood on the couch and thin blood streaks on the wall. The neighbor called the cops immediately, and I was just standing there dumbfounded. I heard him tell the police that Jim had smashed his girlfriend's face in with a sledgehammer and the weapon was still there, but Jim had run off. The police told us to leave the room and to wait outside if we felt safe doing so. The cops came and put an APB out on Jim, and they found him an hour later running down the street. After talking to the cops, they said it looked like Jim was trying to find the gas line in the house, and he probably wanted to go to the gas station to get fuel to help him burn the house down with Sierra inside. After all the cops left and everything calmed down, me and my wife looked at each other like, what just happened? We had to call in to work the next day because there were two news vans out front all morning, and every time we stepped out for a smoke, they were badgering us for an interview. It ended up being a small blip in the news with a short paragraph in the newspaper and a 1-minute segment on the local news. Obviously, everyone in the house was asked by the prosecutor to come testify in court. By the time they asked me to come to court, it was 2 years later, and at that point in time, I was actually locked up for a probation violation. Keep in mind, I'm in the same county jail that Jim is in while he's going to court. I had gone on vacation while on probation across the country, and they found out about it, so they gave me 60 days to do in county jail, and then I would be done with probation. It just so happened that those 60 days were during the trial for Jim. The prosecutor let my wife bring nice clothes up to the jail because it wouldn't look good for a criminal in jail stripes to take the stand and testify against this guy, and the prosecutor thought I was well-spoken enough that the jury wouldn't know any better. Now, the way this particular county does court is they basically round up everyone in the jail that has court that day and take them all to a giant holding cell in the basement of the courthouse. They then take you upstairs as your case comes up. I told the officers that were taking me to the holding cell that I was a witness in a murder case and didn't want to be put in the same room as the guy I had to testify against. They said that that won't happen and took me to the holding cell. I started thinking, well, they probably have the serious murder type cases in a different cell, right? When they called my name to go to court, I start walking to the entrance of the cell, and from behind, I hear someone say my name and tap my shoulder. I turn around, and of course, it's Jim, 4 feet away from me, face to face. All he said after I turned around was, good luck today. And all I could do was reply, you too. After that, they put a special command in the system to keep us separated. If you or anyone you know have a horror story that you'd like to be narrated on here, please fill out the form that's linked in the description below. All feedback is welcome. That form is linked down there too. News articles pertaining to this story are also linked down there as well as the music if you want to check that out too. My friends, horror is all around us. We just try our best to avoid it. Once again, I'm your host, MC, signing out. Thanks for taking the time to check out the MC Horror Podcast. Have a great night.